Father in heaven, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful that we can gather here together as a church family and friends and to worship you this morning. We pray for your spirit to be here with us, to guide us in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning. This sort of reminds me of years ago when I used to go to a church where there was only a few members. And Mom can remember that. And when you were a member of a smaller church, you wear a lot of different hats and do a lot of different things. But you still are blessed anyway. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank you again. We can meet on your Sabbath day. Please be with me today as I present a little message that the group can be blessed and that I can be blessed too as I present it. We ask you in a holy and blessed name. Amen. Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? How much longer? How many people have heard those words a few times? I think... Possibly. I've probably heard it a few more times than most here since I've traveled a lot and I've had children for a number of years. And I'm going to tell you a little story first. I think it was, Brenda will correct me, I'm glad she's here because she edits things as I go here, that when we went out to Tara's wedding, which was in Colorado, which was it 3 years ago, in August, actually September. We left my my aunt and uncle's place, which is down south of Rochester, and we were headed out. It's going to be about 1,700 miles in our van, and we left like at 6 o'clock at night or so. And I don't think we got more than 3 miles down the road, and one of my five children goes, "Are we there yet? How much longer?" I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is going to be a long trip. We had a really great time, a great experience. We left Western New York at night, and we found out a long time ago it's good to leave just about time for them to go to bed. Then I can drive all night and have the peace and quiet of the vehicle and that. And I think we came out to Cleveland probably around 10, 11 o'clock, and we were going through Chicago about 4 o'clock in the morning. That is a good time.
That was coming back.
But we went through Chicago, I think, at night, too, and that's a good time because I've been through Chicago during the day, and that's not a pleasant experience at all for the traffic. And then we got out into Western Illinois and all the cornfields and the soybean fields, and growing up in a farm, I sort of loved that. But after a while, I got a little tired seeing all the same fields. They were different, but they looked the same. And then we got into Iowa, and everything was like so straight that it was hard to stay awake. But and then you had the little rise and little down, rise and down all the way out. I wonder why I'm telling you this story. Hopefully you'll figure it out here eventually. Eventually, the end of the next day, we ended up in Nebraska. We actually did stop and see a friend in Lincoln. But then at the end of the day, we were in a place called Grand Island, Nebraska. Is that right? Grand Island. Grand Island, out in the middle of Western Nebraska. Has anybody ever been in Western Nebraska? A few people have. This is September. It was brown. It was flat. The wind was blowing. It was dry. There might have been a couple trees here and there. I don't mean no due respect to people out there, but it was pretty hot. But there was not much there. We wondered why in the world did they call it Grand Island? There wasn't water to be seen anywhere. I think of Grand Island, I think of Buffalo, you know, I think of Niagara Falls and Niagara River. And the explanation was given that at one time it was an island. way back, who knows when, and there were dinosaurs all around, whatever, and there was dinosaurs on this, and it was called Grand Island because it used to be an island. Well, you had to have a really good imagination to believe that one. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. But now we made it that far, and that was like 2/3 of the way out there, believe it or not. But you know, I got thinking about that, and I was thinking this in a spiritual realm. How many of us have asked the question, are we there yet? You know, how much longer? And when are we going to get there? In my spiritual journey, I've asked the same question. I know I have, and maybe some of us here, if we're a bit honest with ourselves, I'm sure we've asked them. I know, you know, I believe in the second coming of Christ. I know he is coming soon. You know, I am full of faith and believe, you know, what the Bible says. And for that matter, if you think about it, it's a basis of hope for all Christianity to be reunited again with our Lord. Every generation since Christ's time has looked at the signs, and everyone has argued that he will definitely come before they would die. Every generation from Christ's time believes that the Lord is coming in their lifetime. And I don't necessarily say that's a bad thing to believe, even if it hasn't happened in the previous 10, 15, 20, 25 generations that have believed that. Let's open up our Bibles. Let's turn to Matthew 24. You probably knew I was going there, but just going to read a couple things here today. Matthew 24. I'm just going to pick a few verses here and there. I'm going to just read verse 7. It's for a nation shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes, in diverse places. Yeah, no, we've had them all. And actually, I need to go back. Let's read verse 3 first, and then we'll go back. In verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, and this is the disciples asking Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be? And when shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So in essence, the disciples were asking the same question, you know, when are you coming again? You know, how long? And, you know, and this is, Jesus goes on through this whole chapter. He's talking about nation rising against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. If we go to verse 24, verse 29. For unto everyone there shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Sorry, I apologize, I'm a page off here. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. If we look to like verse 36, before we go to verse 36, all of these things that Jesus is talking about, you know, a lot of these things have happened, but you know, the Lord still hasn't come. But then the Lord in verse 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So I guess one of the points I'd like to make today is that if we start a certain place spiritually, if we believe that, you know, the Lord is coming in our lifetime, you know, we're going to, everything that we do is going to be affected by that. on things of, for example, of if we're going to buy or sell a house, or you know, how we raise our children or investments that we make. I guess that, you know, how many people here, I'm just going to ask the question, believe the Lord is going to, would, could come or will come within 50 years? And you know, this is just a, you know, it isn't a right or wrong answer thing in that respect. But I can guarantee you that if you'd asked my grandfather that in like 1940, 41, he would have said the same thing. But 60-some years have gone by since then. If you look in 1940s with the World War and the strife and the stress in the Middle East and all the prophecies that were fulfilled then, you know, I'm sure that he believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord was coming, you know, before he would have passed away. I guess when we think about this, we have to remember, and I believe that God is in control of everything, but do we truly have the faith to believe that everything happens in God's time? When we look at Jesus, when he came the first time, he came in the fullness of time. I believe that's the way it's stated. He came just at the right time. He came at a time when the Roman world, Roman power control, and because of that, in the world that he came into, there was actually order in the midst of chaos. What I mean by that, even though the people were under Roman's rule at that time, you know, things were controlled, I guess that's the word I'm looking for. So we just read here in Matthew 24 that no one knows the time of the day that the Lord comes. But I think honestly that in our hearts that we know when Jesus comes again, he will come when the time is right. Now, some might say that, you know, if we would only get our act together that, the Lord would come. And there may be some texts that may support that in Revelation and other places. But, you know, we can only do so much individually. The Lord, I need to get a drink of water if you don't mind. My water is right here. There's three areas in our life that we could relate to each other and God. That's through our work, through our service, and our spiritual life. Our work, we come in contact with numerous people every day. And also through our service, through our work, through our church, and through our families. I'd like to finish my story here, and then I'm going to finish with a little thought. After we left Grand Island, we went through Northwestern Nebraska, and we were going to meet up with our daughter and son-in-law to be in Denver. We got 90 miles short of Denver, and our vehicle cocked out right in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Turned out that the fuel pump on our van died, so it wasn't getting gas, no power, no run. So We prayed a lot, and I checked out a number of things and make sure it wasn't something that I could deal with, which I couldn't, but I was able to get it to exit, which is like 2 miles away. It took us like an hour and a half. The kids weren't too happy. It was like it seemed like it was 95 degrees. It probably was not that hot. But and through it all, God was able to get us to the exit. And our daughter was able to come meet us, and, you know, we survived. It wasn't part of the plan. Now, getting back to these questions here, how much longer till the Lord comes? No man knows, and we don't know. Are we there yet? And if we think that we've maybe even arrived spiritually, whatever, we probably haven't arrived, because no matter how good that we think we are, right that we are, God still has got things to show us. I know in my own life and victories that God has given me, and He has given me victories in a lot of aspects spiritually in my life, that there's always other things that He shows me. And, you know, that is a good thing. When are we going to see the Lord come again? That is a question that none of us can answer. So how are we to live in the meantime? Are we to say, well, we are, for example, to, you know, move forward and do a new community services or build a church because we know the Lord's coming next week or next year or 10 years from now? Then we'd be wasting our time. I think that
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The will of God for us to plan and to build and to further His kingdom, like He's not coming for a long time, but I think spiritually we always need to be ready in case it does happen tomorrow. We have that belief and faith that, you know, that when He does come, it'll be right. I pray that for this group, and that as we move forward here in making some decisions here in the next week or two, that God will lead this group, not only just for the physical things, but spiritually, that we will continue to let the Lord lead us in our hearts and our minds. So that, one, we'll have that assurance of our salvation that will be evidence in our lives, and we can share it with others. Yes, all these things, Lord, in Your holy and blessed name. Amen.